Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Suicide is a leading cause of death in the U.S. and is considered a national public health crisis. It is in 10th place for adults overall and in 2nd place for those aged 15 to 34. Colorado is one of the states with the highest rates of suicide, ranking 10th in the nation. Keep listening to learn more about suicide prevention, tips for coping, teen suicide, the mental health stigma in men, how to get help, and a lot more from experts in the field at the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group.
I'm Adam, and September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Sadly, millions of people consider suicide every year, and far too many actually move beyond thinking about it, with roughly 800,000 actually succeeding in taking their life. Your mental health and that of those around you is extremely important, especially now. Joining us from the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group to take a hard look at National Suicide Prevention Month are Allison DeCanto, she's an Emergency Services Clinician, LPC, and Azrael Madrigal Chase, she's the Grants Manager. Welcome to SL Voices, ladies, and let's dive right into September being National Suicide Prevention Month and why this is such an important topic of discussion. On not just a national level, but right here in the San Luis Valley. You know, to begin, would you please cover suicide risks and signs to look for?
Some signs to look for are really someone who is experiencing depression. This can look like someone feeling very helpless, that they can't do anything to improve a negative situation, hopeless that there is no way to improve this situation. Might be isolating from loved ones, family members. Someone who once previously enjoyed activities, maybe they're not doing those activities anymore. Maybe they're giving away prized possessions. And I think very importantly, what people overlook is when someone says they're suicidal. I think when this is so blatantly in someone's face and someone will go to say, well, this is a call for attention. Talking about suicide and having suicidal thoughts, that's a pretty darn stark symptom that something's going on. They've been thinking about this for some time. Some other risk factors can include tearfulness, you know, someone being depressed where they hadn't been before, feeling a burden on other people, specifically isolating from family members because they don't want to burden them with their issues.
There's a lot to look for.
The Colorado Trust did a research paper on suicide in Colorado in 2019. And one of the Colorado-specific risk factors that was statistically significant was actually situational. So your living situation, are you living alone? Or another side of the spectrum is homelessness. Those are two major risk factors.
Well, regarding suicide in Colorado, Ezra, you just brought that up. Just how high are our state numbers and why do you think they are so bad?
We are 10th in the nation. The most recent statistics the CDC has from 2018, that year we lost almost 1,200 people to suicide. And I think it's important to note that 75% of those people were men who had committed suicide. And that's 22 out of every 100,000 people in the state. That's a rise for Colorado, too, where we've been kind of holding steady at that 10, 12th place in the nation. So, you know, there's debate as to why that number has increased. And it's hard to link a direct correlation. Some people will say it's a lot of influx of transplants coming in. We have a high level of owning firearms here, but kind of hard to tack down a direct correlation. You know that it's an issue we got to tackle at least.
Let's take a look at this just on the local level here. What about suicide in the San Luis Valley?
So our numbers are actually in the median for our state, but a lot of other counties who are pretty rural, they have higher rates. I'm thinking that rural isolation, you know, they're very connected. We really try to combat that here in the Valley with our local clinics. Someone calling me can be an hour away from me in Alamosa and want help. You can go to San Luis. We have a clinic there. We have a new clinic in South Fork. So I think meeting people where they're at, you know, our mobile crisis intervention, we go to them. I think that helps a lot so that we're bringing down that isolation level a little bit.
And what about suicide in teens? Understand that they face challenges that we really don't understand as adults.
Absolutely. And it's the leading cause in death for adolescents because they're usually seemingly healthy people. I think that teens often get stuck in a situation that they think will not end, that they don't have any help. And so it's really important for us to talk to our kids, make sure they have a link, whether that's at school, they have a counselor they can talk to if they're going through a rough time, they have someone they can talk to at home, because the days of being bullied at school and going home are over. Bullies are now online, they're on social media, and I think it's really hard for kids to isolate themselves from that. It's a lot more complicated to be a teenager nowadays.
They've taken this online now.
Yes. Again, like I said, it used to be just in the hallways and then you could go home and not have to deal with it till tomorrow. But yeah, now it's on social media and Snapchat, Facebook and things like that. So, you know, one thing I would love to say to teens is you can put the phone down, you can turn it off, you can do something else. You have that power. And also you have the power to talk to someone in your corner. If you feel it's tough to talk to a loved one or family member, counselors are there to help, and what we're here for.
What would you recommend parents do to help this with their children?
Talk about it. I think that a lot of times when I talk about this with kids, they're like, well, I don't know how to talk about it. I don't even know what it is. Having some conversation around the topic is going to help tremendously. Figuring out what's going on instead of leaving it in the dark and in the shadows where it can grow and get worse.
In addition, the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group does have some school-based clinical staff that work on-site with students and provide some extra support. And also highlighting that the role of parents is really important. There's some other trusted adults in an adolescent's life that they may feel more comfortable going to, such as teachers, coaches, mentors. So if you're here listening to this podcast and you find yourself in one of those positions, just know you're in a position to help.
And there, of course, is help available, too, on a statewide level and a national level. I know there are numbers that people can reach out to and talk to somebody with no risk of judgment or condescension. It's just simply someone to reach out and talk to.
Yeah. So on the national level, we have the National Suicide Prevention Line. And that number is 1-800-273-8255. There is also the Colorado Crisis Line. And that number is 1-844-493-8255. And you can also text TALK to 38255. And I'll let Allison talk about our local resource.
So we actually always have an on-call clinician available. I'm one of the few. You can get a hold of us by just calling our local line, which is the same line we use during business hours. That's 719-589-3671. That's holidays, overnight, anytime. I tell people, if you're in crisis at 2 a.m., give me a call. That's what we're here for. We also do have a walk-in clinic in Alamosa. That's on 311 San Juan. We're open again now, even with COVID. Please do wear a mask, but we will be open. It's going to be Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I think it's important to note, you can be suicidal, you could be in crisis, you could be just having a tough day. But please do reach out before that problem grows, because that's what we're here for, is to combat it together.
So someone can get help no matter where they are, no matter what time it is, no matter what day it is. You all are available. And I will remind our listeners, too, that if you're listening to this podcast out somewhere, all this contact information will be on this podcast webpage. You can go to it and look up any other contact information that's there, and certainly urge you to reach out if you have that need.
As part of National Suicide Awareness Month, on our social media, San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group, SLVBHG on Facebook and Instagram, we will be posting some statistics, information, and resources. So if you haven't liked and follow us, please do.
There are a lot of things that tie into the potential for people considering suicide, such as hopelessness and isolation, and how all this impacts depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and even substance abuse.
Man, they all tie together. They all create a mess together, unfortunately. A lot of people will go to substance abuse because they're trying to numb or treat or get some type of distraction from either depression, anger, anxiety, trauma in the past. And this can serve to actually provide some support, but it's very short term. It's very fleeting. And typically more problems come as a result. And then you have a person struggling with now two things. Support is going to be important in both of these situations. Keep reaching out to them. Keep letting them know, hey, I'm here. I'm available. You're not alone in this. Because I think that's what happens, is people get trapped in that cycle. And what will happen is the substance abuse will continue to feed the depression. The depression will make a need for the substance abuse. And unfortunately, it can be a really, really tough cycle for anyone to go through. And support is very key with helping with that.
normalizing thoughts of suicide, giving thought to what is driving these suicidal thoughts and how to seek help for suicidal ideation.
We live in a world where it's tough to talk about that, right? People either feel that they are somehow, you know, weak or there's something wrong with them, which I find interesting because people have no problem going to the doctor to say, hey, you know, something's going on with my vision. Hey, my blood pressure is getting higher. Hey, my COPD is getting worse, right? We have to start that battle here in our communities, talking with people. The more we talk about depression, the more we talk about suicidal thought, which is a symptom of depression, the more that we can actually have conversations and target these things and figure out what works because everybody's different. But we know that that support is key.
So your mental health is just as important as your physical health.
Absolutely.
How has the whole COVID-19 situation affected people here? And do you believe it has driven up the suicide rates or had any impact on them?
I couldn't really speak to if it's impacted the suicide rate. We don't really have any numbers. That might could come out in a year or so. I will say, being a person who's on call and talking to folks in the community, anxiety is up. It's up for a variety of reasons, both direct, fear of contracting the virus, and indirect, losing jobs and not being able to have the same financial support because of that. We are getting a lot of calls from people who are anxious and want to talk things through. And we have some people seeking counseling and support for situational occurrences that have been kind of caused by COVID.
I might add to that too, just as you suggested earlier for our younger adults, put your device down for a while. There's an awful lot of negativity going on in social media. My suggestion would be put the thing away for a while. Don't take it to your bedroom with you.
Social media has become such a double-edged sword because of this time of social isolation. For a lot of folks, it's our connection to the outside world and still trying to connect with friends and kind of a entertainment distraction. But you're right, too much of it can be a good thing.
In regards to suicide, what is the mission of the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group?
Our mission is to provide access to quality behavioral health services that enrich people's lives, promote wellness. We are really driven by a profound respect for human dignity and a desire to serve the underrepresented, the disenfranchised, and those experiencing behavioral distress. In emphasis with suicide and preventing suicide, we really are focused in removing barriers. Similar to what Allison mentioned before, we're available 24/7. We're willing to work with clients. We're willing to meet them where they're at in order to get them the help that they need.
We also have a variety of counselors available, both in Alamosa and, again, in those other clinics outlying. Some of them specialize in trauma. Some of them specialize in adolescence. But we have a variety of counselors, professionally trained, educated, who decide what their specialty is and what their jam is. And that, I think, brings something special to the table where people can feel like they can find the right counselor for them. Giving counseling a shot is really going to help with all that, help you cope with these things, help you be more positive and independent.
I want to circle back around to something that you mentioned earlier. The suicide rates are higher in men. Does this go hand in hand with the stigma of men not needing counseling or thinking they're not needing counseling?
I think so. Yeah, I think men are more likely to be the strong one who fixes everything, who holds it together for their family. And I think they're also more likely to look at themselves in a negative light for feeling depressed or having thoughts of suicide. They may further treat themselves crappy on top of that. They may serve to beat themselves up about that.
Well, what would you suggest men do?
What can men do? First of all, they could be nicer to themselves. I think kind of like with everything, with the teens, with people in isolated areas, we need to talk more about this. We need to normalize it, not just for our kids. You know, if a father can go ahead and model that for a child, that speaks volumes, right? So I think the first step would be to, if you have a man in your life who you know is depressed, talk to them, let them know it's okay. Let them know that that's not just attributed to one gender. We all deal with that, right? And the second thing would be, if you're a guy out there listening to this, come on over, let us talk with you. Because really everyone has the answer and the drive to create the life they want for themselves. But that support piece can be crucial. It can be a crucial part of intervention to getting on that right path.
Anything else that either of you would like to mention?
Yeah, about 4 years ago when I think Colorado Crisis Services came out with their You could talk or text them. I remember thinking at the time, wow, how are we going to go ahead and talk about some real heavy issues via text, right? I was a skeptic, but I no longer feel that way. And the reason why is because I have had a lot of teens and kids tell me that they would have never called this number, but they did text it, or they did get online and chat, and that otherwise they wouldn't have reached out for the help. So of course, I'm not a skeptic anymore. I've come full circle. So I think it's important to know that that crisis line, they're available to talk on the phone, or you can text them as well.
Well, I understand that. They adapt to this newer technology easier and quicker than some of us in the older generations. Anything else?
I think the most important thing is talk to your loved ones. Pay attention to your loved ones. If you were going to come into your grandmother's home and said, hey, I think you're using that walker a little bit more. Is there something more I can do to help? Then I think that we can also reach out to people who are maybe isolating themselves more. We kind of sense something's going on. They're not feeling like themselves. I think we can also say to them, hey, can I come on over? Can I bring a bite? Can we talk about things? I think community connection is the first piece to all of this. And that will hopefully help folks to open up. And of course, we encourage people to open up to us because we are absolutely free of judgment. A lot of us who have gotten into this field have struggled on our own, or our families have. There's a huge joke in our field. Why did you become a counselor? Is it to figure out yourself or your family? And probably half of them will say, I wanted to kill two birds with one stone. You know, the bottom line is that we're very comfortable talking about this stuff. And we just hope that we can get other people to feel the same and do the same. And hopefully at some point it'll become normal.
And two, let's face it, this is not a pigeonholed thing. It's not a particular group. This affects young people, the elderly, veterans, survivors of crisis situations. It's just across the board. Everybody and anybody, it seems, is potentially prone to dealing with at least a consideration of suicide.
At some point in anyone's life, they will go through depression. Obviously, some people have like a more biological depression, or it's hereditary, and perhaps they have to take medication in addition to going to counseling and taking care of themselves and checking in with themselves. But most people will go through depression at some point, whether they've lost a loved one or going through a tough time. And millions of people combat major depression every year. So absolutely, it is absolutely across the board. You're right on point.
Ezra, anything else?
Just thank you again so much for having us, and thank you for highlighting such an important issue. And we really appreciate your time.
Allison and Ezra, I want to thank you both for joining us to discuss National Suicide Prevention Month. Again, all of this contact information from the national level right down to local here in the San Luis Valley will be available on the podcast page. If you need, please don't hesitate to reach out to these people. This is what they're there for, to help you, to talk to you, to walk you through a difficult situation. You're not alone, as you all say. The San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group, your slogan is very simple. You're dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. And this is why you're here, to help people. Thank you both, ladies.
Thank you, Adam.
If you've been considering suicide, are anxious, scared, feel like you're experiencing a crisis, or just want to talk with someone that won't judge your feelings, call the San Luis Valley Behavioral Health Group at 719-589-3671. That's 719-589-3671. Or you can call the Colorado Crisis Hotline at 844-493-8255. That's 844-493-8255. You can even text TALK to 38255 to receive mental health crisis support. Someone is available 24 hours a day to take your call and help you through difficult times. Remember, you don't have to go through this alone.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish, and you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.